Welcome to Conversations in Equine Science. My name is Kate Acton and I'm joined by Nancy McLean, and this is the podcast where we take equine research and try and make it accessible to horse owners and enthusiasts alike. Remember that with each topic we discuss, it's important to get professional advice before implementing any of the strategies. On today's episode, Nancy and I are coming back with a very important update from an episode we recorded in 2021. And we were talking about the African donkey skin trade and its use in traditional Chinese medicine, particularly the use of the skin to create a product that is called a jiao. You might remember from that episode, we were talking about how the donkeys were being exported from Africa. We have an exciting update today that the African Union has banned the donkey skin trade, and BROOKE, their Action for Working Horses and Donkeys, a brilliant charity, have posted this update to say the African Union has opted to ban the donkey skin trade after years of tireless lobbying by Brooke, signalling an end to the legal slaughter of hundreds of thousands of donkeys within the continent. Over the last decade, Africa has seen its donkey population decimated due to the Chinese demand for a jiao, a gelatin used in traditional Chinese medicine that is made from boiling down the donkey skins. Believed to have an unsubstantiated health benefit claim, demand for a jiao has obliterated China's own donkey population and has then led to this huge export of industries elsewhere, namely Africa and currently still in South America. On the 17th to 18th of February of this year, the African Union heads of state met and they have decided to pass the motion, including this ban. And it is a great moment, I suppose, in history. One person had quoted Emmanuel Sire, said this is a historic moment. Even if it's not the war we have just won, we have at least won this African battle, which I hope will one day be global. I'll be proud to tell my children that I witnessed and contributed to this moment, which was really lovely. So basically, there are some companies that are still selling a jiao, and Nancy's going to touch on how we can try and tackle that going forward. But interestingly, and thank you, Nancy, for finding this linking paper that we're going to talk about today, there is a much, you know, broader knock-on effect from these types of trades that happen that is massively underreported up until now. So the paper we're also going to talk about today is called Characterizing the Links Between the Trade in Donkey Skins for Traditional Chinese Medicine and Timber of Conservation Concern. And that's by Shan Su et al. Nancy, I don't know if you want to give us a little bit of a background about how this timber of conservation concern links in with the donkey skin trade.
Well, what happens is when there is legal international trading, a lot of times along with that is illegal trading. So there's one quote in this paper that says there were, oh my gosh, it was like so many tons of, I think it's 17 tons of donkey skins. And along with the 17 tons of donkey skins being transported, intermingled with that was 1 ton of shark fins. Now, these shark fins were illegal, and they were described in the shipment log as being salt. So along with the legal trading, which at this time the it was legal to trade donkey skins, they integrated the illegal substance. And that happens a lot. I think there's a scale that is sold in China, and when it's called a pangolin scale, and it's used in traditional Chinese medicine. And when they were shipped, smuggled with them was methamphetamines. So these donkey skins, a lot of times when they're shipped, there's an illegal substance along with them. And I was amazed that it was so many species of threatened and endangered timber that were being shipped along with this these donkey skins. So I kind of thought Kate and I would talk about this because while it really doesn't pertain to our equestrian endeavors, are the horses in our country, our Kate's country, it does give us an avenue for leverage. So Amazon is one company that still continues to sell the EJO. And so, you know, would they put leverage on Amazon and they refuse to budge? Now, this research that just came out October 2023, possibly by using this, because some of these timbers that they are shipping are endangered. So there is a, I don't know, we called it sites when I worked at the St. Louis Zoo, and it's actually kind of like rules that the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, it was signed into existence. And I think it was like in the early 70s when this came about. So it's been a number of years that these organizations realize when you're that these legal trades also have a bit of illegal trading within them. So did that make sense, Kate?
Yeah, no, that was really well said. I think the part of the paper that explained it the best to me, because I was like, how are they doing this? Like, I just couldn't understand how they even realized that there was this niche or this market for it. Or like, how does someone go from trading donkey skins, which seems so and is so widely different from timber? Like, it's, I just couldn't wrap my head around it. When I got to the part where they explained that obviously traders often engage in selling a diverse range of products, they said that traders may acquire multiple products from the same source. So that can be one reason. So these are all African products. So they deal in African products, or they might be catering to specific buyers' preferences. So first they were selling the donkey skins and they were just asked, like, you know, is there a chance you can also acquire this or sell this? Or they might expand their offerings based on available resources. And that tends to be more in the legal sense. But it just seemed crazy that you would have the coexistence of these two seemingly entirely unrelated products, like donkey skins and timber. And that kind of makes you question, you know, what exactly is going on. But it was just, I suppose, kind of my fascination then with how they were using the legal trade of donkey skins to allow them to do these other illegal trades underneath. And I don't know, I think you can probably go down a huge rabbit hole with it, but how many companies are probably getting away with doing that? And like, donkeys are equids. They're still within our horse genius or our equid genius. And I just think when we covered that 3 years ago now about the devastating impacts it was having to people in Africa, they had these donkeys for their livelihoods. You know, and they relied on these donkeys for transport and to carry heavy loads and to help them with farming. And it was just decimating the population. And China's donkey population has been decimated because of this as well. And there's no proof that it does anything. There's no substantiated health claims. So it really is such a shame to, I suppose, know about it and not kind of report about it. But it's a great movement now that Africa has said they're not going to allow. Because I think, too, for the people who wrote this paper, they must be delighted. It means that these trees that were threatened, or I think they said there were six endangered trees that were being exported, too. Like, they would eventually just wipe out that species of plant.
Yeah, it was really eye-opening that they're letting these endangered trees be harvested. And they're, it's not like they're letting it, it's poaching going on. And whether it's the black rhinos or, you know, they had donkey farming, but the donkeys are like horses. They don't have more than one donkey at a time or give birth to more than one donkey at a time. And their gestation period is the same as a horse. So, you know, they overcame what could be produced. So then they started stealing these people's donkeys that were working animals. And Brooke has on their website about the story about the water boy that used his two donkeys to carry water to people. People would pay him for the water. And then he was using that money to go to school, and he wanted to become a doctor. And so they stole his donkeys, and they were found slaughtered at the edge of town. And so that really devastated his whole future on what he was wanting to do. And fortunately, the Brook came up with a donkey that he could use to keep working and keep saving for school. But that's what happened. You know, all of a sudden, China is importing all these donkey hides, and the, you know, farming side of it could not keep up with the demand. So then they started to put pressure on the companies that were selling these donkey hide products. And so Walmart said no more, eBay said no more. Amazon is the only one that continues to sell makeup and various medicines on their website. So you can go to Brooke and, you know, I guess email, and there's a letter there for you to use. However, I don't see that the USA website had been updated. So I was going to send Brooke USA this new research and say, hey, this might be something that will enact a little leverage toward Amazon to not allow their products to be sold, you know, if it involves donkey hides.
I mean, 4 million donkeys were being killed a year to meet this demand just for this ajao, like for no other reason than producing this. And it was just, it's one of those things, I suppose, where it's such a great step that Africa has now banned it, but they are still exporting donkeys from South America, Latin America. And obviously the demand now on those countries is going to increase because traders aren't going to be able to get the donkeys from Africa. So it is just so important that if people can take the time and they can write those letters and those petitions. I know sometimes it can feel like nothing's happening, especially, I mean, if you think about it, Nancy and I don't know how many listeners submitted those letters 3 years ago, but it did obviously have an impact. You know, certain companies don't sell it anymore, and now we have got this ban. We've got this improvement in the donkey's welfare. So I just think it's very exciting to actually see something come to fruition, especially when you've waited a long time. And I mean, we've only been 3 years since we started talking about this. The Brook has been working on this tirelessly for a lot longer than that. So it's just an exciting, I suppose, update to be able to bring that you can make a difference if you have a few minutes to spare and you could fill out one of those forms.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of go back with an explanation of what is the Brook. When I was in Edinburgh, I had never heard of it before until I think one of our welfare classes had a video about the Brook and their mission. Now, I had never heard of it. This is probably 2019. So I ended up a few years ago reading the autobiography of Dorothy Brook. And what it was is her and her husband, Jeffrey, they were relocated from the UK to Cairo, Egypt, in around the 1930s. And in 1934, she realized the World War I horses that had been taken from the UK were not brought back to the UK when the war ended. And what happened is Britain sold them to Egypt. Well, Britain's horse management and Egypt's horse management were two different ideas. So she felt so bad when she saw some of these aging animals living in deplorable conditions. So she started the Brook to be able to buy back these horses. And most of them had to be euthanized because they were in such poor condition. But she ended their suffering, and she was able to find a lot of the World War I British horses and either get them in a better situation or go ahead and humanely euthanize them.
So that's amazing. I didn't realize that they weren't actually brought back again.
No, and a lot of people in the UK felt betrayed because Britain would not ship those horses back. They said it was probably due to transportation, but in reality, it was just going to be too expensive to bring them back. And that probably there were some American horses there too, and horses from all of our countries that ended up going from being soldiers in World War I to being workhorses in Egypt. And unfortunately, a lot of them were not well taken care of. So she saw that. She opened up a hospital in the areas, and now they have hospitals, I think, all over the world for horse welfare and donkeys and mules and any equid. So it's kind of a really, really admirable organization. And I'm going to look, we might be able, Kate, to have a little fundraiser through the podcast if I can get a link that people can give directly. It seems like on the podcast, so much of the time when people give money, there's fees taking out for the mode of that money transfer when it's worldwide. So I'd much rather people give directly to the Brook, and I'll find out if there's a way we could put a link on our homepage.
And you know could what? Definitely link to the donate section of the Brooks page. Yeah, but I don't know if we could make it a step easier.
I wonder if we could even have our podcast as how they've heard. I'd like to, you know me, I'd like to see how many people really do it.
I had the pleasure 2 years ago of meeting one of the vets that works for the Brook. I actually met her at a medical education conference because she works in the education aspect. And I mean, the work they do is just incredible. And to hear from the people who are behind the charity, who are so passionate about what they do, I can't imagine how much they're rejoicing that this has come to pass.
Yeah, it was a big deal because, oh my God, they lobbied for so long to get this right. I remember at graduation, we had a classmate that was working in that lobbying area for the Brook, probably as a volunteer, but I don't know. But she was the first person to tell me about this donkey hide and how it was used in China and unproven in its effects and its medicinal uses. But anyway, the research shows it's just like putting gelatin and eating gelatin. You can get the same effect from plants and you can get from this donkey hide product. So if you guys don't know much about this use, our episode was in 2021. I'm going to go back and find that link and I'll put that on the homepage. Unfortunately, this new research with the donkey hides and the timber. It's not open access, but I will put a link because you'll be able to read the abstract and a few snippets. And then we'll also put a link to Brooke so you can read more about the Brooke.
Brilliant. And I just forgot to mention, when I introduced the paper about the donkey skins and the timber, that was a 2023 paper. So obviously that predated this news that it's now been banned. So just to bear that in mind as well, if you are reading the information in it, because it does obviously refer to the trade from Africa of donkey skins.
Yep, that's a good point, Kate. And then also, you know, I think the main thing is they're making steps. You know, it's not perfect yet, but we can continue to strive to make it right, especially for these people who live in poverty and their donkeys mean everything to them. So it's got to be heartbreaking when they wake up and the donkey's been stolen and then they know what's probably happened to it. So.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I can't either. So, all right. Well, that's all I had, Kate. You have anything else?
No, that was it. Thanks so much, Nancy, for finding that paper. I mean, that's sent me on a rabbit hole of conspiracy theories about other companies, but it's opened my eyes massively. So thank you. I don't think I ever would have realized.
Well, and when I first read it, I thought, huh, donkey hides, we can use this on our podcast.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. Well, thanks so much, Kate. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Nancy. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.